Again, very grateful for all that are here. We do have a large number of people and appreciate so much your willingness to be out this morning, to be able to assemble together and to certainly on the first day of the week remember our Lord and Savior and what He did for us. And for those that are looking at the title right now that weren't in the first assembly, they've got to be wondering, what am I talking about? Lemon muffins and butter. And that is an absolutely beautiful picture of those. I could have gotten a lot of pictures, but those just happened to be perfect for me. But I want to tell this again for those who weren't here. A friend of mine had told me this about he and his wife. He had worked on a Friday night, and he was very tired. And his wife had said, you know, why don't you sleep in the morning? And when he got up, when she came to wake him up, she told him that she had made him some lemon muffins and some fresh coffee. And so he stumbled out of bed, he said, and you'd have to know him, but it's kind of humorous to see him. But he said he stumbled into the bathroom, and he's looking in the mirror trying to splash some water on his face and wake up. And he looked in the mirror, and he thought, wow, what an ugly guy. And he just thought, how in the world could my beautiful wife love me so much, not just to let me sleep in and all that, but take care of me and her get up and go ahead and fix me some muffins and some coffee for something to eat. And he said, I just really appreciated that so much. Went in to tell her and told her how much I appreciated her when I finally got woke up a little bit. Said she brought out the muffins and he went, where's the butter? And from that moment forth, there was a sharp discussion because she was like, you don't put butter on lemon muffins. And so this went back and forth for a while. And he said, it occurred to him how quickly they went from just how appreciative he was to now he wanted his butter, and if he wasn't going to get his butter, they just weren't going to get along. Finally, he said he gave up, ate the muffins without the butter. And he said they were actually very good that way. I didn't tell that in the first assembly. And he said he didn't really need the butter, but it was just something that he had wanted. And it occurred to me how we are, and I use these thoughts. I thought about that, how we get the muffins and we argue over the butter. And how we're never totally satisfied if we don't watch it with life. And if you don't think you're that way, tomorrow, as you start to say things, just think about what you're saying. And suddenly you'll realize, what am I talking about? So as I went through this, I was thinking about, certainly from Luke 17, 11 through 19, about the story of the lepers. And I put that, I will have that up there again in a moment. But basically, that's why I asked Roger to lead that song. Thank you, Lord. And we struggle with that because I don't think fully understand what we get from God. And as a result of that, we also struggle with other things in life. We're going to talk about those as well. But in that song, we had talked about, thank you, Lord, for loving me, for blessing me, and for saving my soul. And what a tremendous thing in life that He's given us all those things. And we need to sing that song over and over in our mind and go to Him in prayer and thank Him so often. But in this illustration, we find that Luke 17, in that illustration in Luke 17, we find that there was 10 lepers. One of them happened to be a Samaritan. And it's interesting because Samaritans were partially Jews, but Christ even calls him a foreigner in this. And he said, how is it that this one came back and he's the one that thanked me? Where are the nine? And I had said in the earlier assembly, that's still 10% of them coming back and expressing their thanks to God. But so many times in life, when we express our thanks, we're not expressing it in the right way. We may say to God, thank you, and then turn right around and not do anything He wants us to do. And that's not true thankfulness. And so, I want to do something a little bit different this morning. I was thinking about this, how many times I've grumbled about the things that happen in this country. And some of them, I'm not grumbling. It's rightfully so. There's some immoral things going in this country we need to point out. And I agree with all of that. But then I forget how God blessed Abe Martin to grow up in this country. For so many who grew up in other countries, they think, wow, what a blessing you have to live in that country, to enjoy all that. How do we know that? Well, they try to sneak in here. They try to get in here any way they can to be a part of this nation because they see what we have here. And I look at that and I think, it wasn't because some human beings were so brilliant that this country started. We all know whether many won't admit it or not, they came here because they wanted religious freedom. They wanted to be able to serve God, rightfully or wrongfully. That's what they wanted. They wanted to set up a country where you could have this freedom, where you didn't have to concern yourself with it anymore. They wanted a country where there wasn't that dictator that said, you will do it this way. They wanted to be able to do it the way they thought it was correct and proper. What a tremendous blessing. I just forget sometimes that I have been so blessed to be born here, to live in this beautiful country. And even with that said, the privilege of being able to go to other countries sometimes and look at them and see how other people live, it won't take you very long to realize just how wonderful a situation God's put us in. And we need to consider that a blessing and not let it become a curse, because it can be. Just like with the Israelites, when they had all of that and they had this beautiful place to live, what did they do? They turned from God instead of enjoying it. So he says in Romans 13, I set up government for a reason. Let every soul be subject to the authorities, or the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. It wasn't man thought all of this up. He said, I did. I was the one that put this in place. I'm the one that established all of this. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Oh, are you mean that God lets evil people rule? Absolutely. We've seen it throughout history. He has reasons for it every time. He has a reason for why he lets things happen, and we just got to appreciate what that is and move on with our life. Sometimes we just can't conceive, why should this happen? But then again, when you're thinking like that, and I'm thinking like that, think of all the bad things that happen in the world. Why does God allow those to happen? Because he's letting humans make their own choices. We have a right. He's given us that right. We will pay for them if we do them incorrectly. If we do them right, then we will reap the reward of that as well. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. He's saying, that's why I set them up. Now, are all governments that way? Absolutely not. But that's why God set them up, and that's what he intended. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he's God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Custom to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. And I read that and I live in a country where I'm thinking all these privileges I have. Paul wrote this to the people who were living in the capital city of the worst government that's been on the face of this earth. This wasn't written during a wonderful time when everything was just perfect. It was written at a time when you had men like Claudius and Caligula and Nero. Or you had the Jewish leaders who were doing almost exactly the same thing. Or you had these other leaders in other countries. This is not some wonderful time on earth. He's saying, appreciate what you have. The intent of government is to punish evildoers. Now, they may decide wrongly on that, as they did in many cases during this first century. But he still said, do that. So why am I so blessed by God? I thought of this when I was thinking of this, that he was talking to the Jews, told them in Romans 3 that, did you have some advantages? And he said, yeah, much in every way. Not only did he give them the Word of God, but he had given them this wonderful place to live. They didn't deserve Cana. They thought they did, but they didn't deserve that beautiful land where all of that was already prepared for them, but they received it from God. God gave them that. God gave them their victories. God gave them these beautiful things. He did me too. I think of all the people on the face of the earth, we should be the most ashamed for not doing more, for not being thankful for more, for not realizing what we have, for not understanding the opportunities we have in this country to present the gospel not only here, but go other places and present it as well. And my prayer should always be for those that lead. Oh, you mean I pray for people who are obviously not, are very immoral and don't hold to the things of God? Absolutely. In 1 Timothy 2, again, during the most troubling time, he said, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Giving of thanks be made for all the evil as well? Absolutely. Because he put us here with people, we should be trying to do the best we can and convincing them that they need to change their lives. I don't care how evil they are. There's a lot of evil in the world today. There's an extremely evil force in the Middle East right now. They don't care to just slaughter people, kill them, behead them, do terrible things to people. That's not what God intended. But you know what? If we had an opportunity, we would do the best we could to teach them, even if we died for it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We pray for them, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That within the midst of all this turmoil, His Christians can live in peace. Isn't that amazing? Everything around us can be going bad, but we can live in peace with each other and with God. That's what we do. That's what He's talking about. We need this quiet and peaceable life because we can pull within ourselves. It is within us that we do it. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. That's what it's all about. That's why we continually pray. That's why we do pray for our leader. A country where we can make choices. How much education do you want? You can make that choice. It may cost you some time, effort, and money, but you can do it. They won't. There's no one who will stand in your way and say, you can't do this. You might not get to the college you want because of certain preferential treatment, but you can go. You can choose where to live. How many times I forget this when I'm griping about all the bad things that are going on. We can choose who or if we want to marry in this country. In other countries, you don't get that choice. You're told who to marry. And someone gives you to someone, as a woman, you have to be their wife. Maybe there's a fifth one, but you have to be their wife. It's no choice. They decide. You don't get that. We have this freedom. We have a freedom in this country. How many children do we want to have? No one really says, well, you've got to quit after one. You've got to quit after two. You can choose. I can choose the type of job I want. I can choose whether I want to travel or not travel. But I'm going to tell you, most important to each and every one of us at this moment in time is choose to vote. What a right God has given us this country. That we can choose our leaders. We can talk to others about it. We can convince them that we need to put moral leaders in place. We need people who will follow God. We can turn this around through the teaching of God's Word. We can make a difference. And what a privilege it is. Because I'm going to tell you what, in many countries, now I know there's fraud in this country as well, but in many countries, it's already decided. You can go vote all you want to. It's already been decided who's going to lead. You're not going to get a choice in it. You can go vote, but it don't matter. And thank you, Lord, for family. It is from God that this was set up. It is from God that we have this. He set it up in the first place in Genesis 2:24. It was His determination that man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. But why am I deserving of my parents? There's many of us had very, very good parents. Good moral people who tried so hard to live in a time when it was more difficult for them. They lived in a time in this country when it wasn't as easy as it even is now. We complain because we're living in a recession. Many of them went through a depression where people killed themselves and lost everything that they had. In Exodus 20, verse 12, he said to honor your father and mother, that may be well with you. And in the New Testament, we have a law under, we have a commandment under this law as well. And so, as a result of that, what does he say? Children, obey your parents in the Lord until you're 12 years old. That's not what he said. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother until you're 10. Oh, no. It was 16. No, it's 17. No, it's 8. He didn't give an age here. Honor your father and mother. Now, I realize honor to whom honor is due. Again, I've said this so many times. There are parents out there who weren't parents. I understand that. Didn't even take care of the children. I understand that. But there are so many parents who need to be honored and lifted up as fathers and mothers. And why am I deserving of a spouse? I'm like that man that looked in the mirror and I think, why? I'm not very lovable. There's times that I'm actually go the wrong direction of this. In 1 Peter 3:7, I don't treat my spouse right, and I'll be, I'm going to admit it publicly. It's one of those things we struggle with. And it's one of those where it says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And I think of religious groups in the world that not only don't honor their wives, but treat them as if they're property, as if they are less than, like they're just some little puppy dog out there that they can do anything they want to, and if they choose to do so, they can have her killed. Don't you appreciate what you have in Christ? That in Christ, husbands should be treating their wife, honoring them, lifting them up, and saying, it is because of you I can have an heir with me. for life. Why am I deserving of my children? You know, I made a little bit of a joke the other day. I said, you know, I'm starting to understand why I had children. It was so that someone could raise my grandchildren. Think about that one for a moment. That's not true. That's not really true. And I do appreciate my children so much. And I think about this, and I think about 127. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. If He's not in charge of our households, it's a difficult situation. He's the one. He's the one that needs to be guarding the city. Don't matter how much of a watchman you have, unless the Lord's guarding it, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. And I think all He's saying in this is turn it over to God. We cannot make our children continually be faithful to God. You just do the best job you can. You try. You turn it over to Him. It is He that needs to be guarding our homes and our children. Because children are heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. And I thought how many times when my parents was raising me, they thought, this isn't much of a reward. And Abe, we could have done better than this. But I'm thankful they never gave up on me. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed that they shall speak of their enemies in the gates. What a beautiful thought to think about this. Such a blessing from God. In Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In Colossians, he said, don't exasperate them. Don't just push them and push them and push them until it gets to the point where they just go give up. You have to rear them. As my dad always said, you don't raise them. You raise sheep and cattle. You rear children. You train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You teach them what's right. Then they make their own decisions. Why am I deserving of my grandchildren? I think of this, and it is Proverbs 17. I could read this passage. It's one I probably should put up on my mirror at home. 17:6. Children's children, and I'm going to point to two in the front here, children's children's children, are the crown of old men. It's like it's our crowning achievement. We look at them and we go, that's why I was willing to go through all this, to have these children's children. It is a generation removed, and you keep praying for them as well, and you let that Lord guard that house as well, and you pray for those children as well. You put it in His hands. That's all we can do. And the glory of children is their father. Ah, how many times we whip out the pictures, you know, and we say what they're doing, what our children are doing, what our grandchildren are doing. It is a blessing from God. Thank you. It is so. I am so appreciative to have the family that I have while I'm on this earth. See, not everyone in this room has all these relationships. But those of us who do, and I put the lemon in front of it this time because a lemon can be sour sometimes, but not in muffins. We have the lemon muffins. But what is it we expect as well? The butter. You know, I'm just, as I was preparing this lesson, I thought about this weeks ago when I was started preparing my mind, and then I was thinking in terms of all these things. It is so easy for me. And last but not least, thank you, Lord, fellow Christians. Instead of me going away and going, I do not understand why Glendon did that today. I just don't get it. You didn't do anything, Glendon. I'm just using you as an example. Well, I actually did some things, but nothing that I think of that I could bring up. I'll try to think of something, but not right now. But as I thought through this, I thought, you know, you walk out the door and I don't know what the rest of you do, and I know I should be the biggest target of all, so I'll just use me. So you walk out the door and go, what in the world was Abe doing today? I don't get that at all. Do you understand any of that he just did? I mean, it's easy, right? Yeah. It's easy. It's easy for all of us to think that way, and we go away from here and we go, don't appreciate what we have in each other. There's not a person in this room, and I'm going to pick on every one of you, that treats me perfectly all the time. Did you know that? But you know, in return, I don't treat you perfectly all the time. I'm not there for you when I need to be sometimes. And I'm not praying for you as I should. And I'm not doing those things either. So Let's just pick on each other. What do you think? No, let's thank God that we have each other. If we didn't have each other, what would we have? Who would you turn to in life? Go across the street maybe and talk to a neighbor who uses filthy language and who uses God's name in vain? Who wouldn't comfort you about anything? Is that our soulmates? Why am I worthy of having such a spiritual family? I just think in terms of these are people that love me, as someone said, despite all my warts. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful you're willing to overlook my faults. And I'm also thankful you'll point them out to me if it's going to be sin in my life. I thank you for being there. In 1 John 3:14 through 16, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's how you know. What's the marker? Well, I love God. That's not the marker, because I can say I love God and not do His commandments. You ever notice what the second one is? Love your neighbors yourself. Think about this for a moment. He said, you know that that's what's happened. He who does not love his brother abides in death. It's clear. If all I do in life is bellyache about all the people that are good in my life, think about that for a moment. That's all I have. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. That's strong, isn't it? You have these people around you, and you show by your actions you actually hate them. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. In other words, as we talked in the first lesson, how do we know? Because of what He did. He demonstrated it. He didn't just say it. God could have said it and meant it, and we would have had to obey it, but He said, I'll do better. I'm going to demonstrate it to you. I'm going to give my Son for your sins. That's a demonstration of true love. And He said, so we know that. That's what we've got. So we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And I believe, with all of my heart, that I have brothers and sisters in Christ that have already, in some respects, given up some of their life for me, don't you? And I believe that I have people that actually would forfeit their life for me. I believe I have brothers and sisters that care that much about me. I really do. 1 Thessalonians 4, he talked to them and he said, you know, I know about you folks. And I just know how wonderful you really are. In 9 and 10, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren that are in Macedonia. But he says, with that said, so I'll give you the same encouragement today, and me, but we urge you, brethren, we urge you, Abe Martin, that you increase more and more. Get better at it. Love them more. Why should I have people that love me? What is it that I've done that's deserving of love? Nothing. I would never deserve the love of someone else. There's nothing I could do to earn it. And you would look at 1 Peter 1:22. He talks about this sincere love. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Don't do it out of I have to do this. Let it originate, he said, from a pure heart. That means sometimes, now I'll tell you what this is all talking about. Just as he was sacrificial, there's times I have to be sacrificial. I have to do things sometimes that I don't want to do, and I think I don't actually have the time to do, and I've got to put them aside for someone else. That's what love's about. That's what he's talking about in all this, that we never, ever put ourselves first. We never think about what our needs are. We always think of the needs of others. When you studied this a couple of weeks ago with Brad teaching the lesson from Philippians 2, that's all the lesson you learned from that, wasn't it? That's what we do. Fellow Christians work really hard to build me up. I've had people all through my life that have just tried their best to make me something that I didn't want to be. They've tried to encourage me to be better, but I wanted to do something else. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. He said, lift up people that have worked so hard to try to build you up for so many years. Think of the hard work they put into you. Think of the fact that it's not easy all the time to build someone else up. when we have so many selfish needs? And again, I need to work harder at everything I do and show that. Fellow Christians try to help me in bearing my load in Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, I can only do that to a certain degree. I can be there and say something to someone or try to encourage them or pray for them. I cannot take, as he goes on down in the passage, their burdens away from them. But I can be there beside them when they're going through certain things as much as I possibly can. Fellow Christians extend their hospitality to one another. I think of people in my life that have gone out of their way. Gone out of their way to make sure that I felt loved in this respect. They've been so hospitable. They've invited me into their homes. They've invited me to go out and eat with them. They've invited me to go do things with them. That's hospitality. It is one of those things when we think about this that we understand the principle of what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about this, about how we... It should be easy for us to do it for those we love, but we even struggle in that. But I am thankful. I'm thankful. I think of so many places where I have been, not just in this local area, in many other places, in other countries, and I know some of you have been the same way, and you've been treated so graciously by people who are fellow Christians, and they have extended every bit of hospitality to you that they possibly could. When, for instance, Cody went to India, he was felt. He was welcomed. He was felt to be part of it. He knew that they were brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is such a wonderful thing. It should bring a smile on our face when we're able to assemble with one another, even if you have to listen to me. It is what is said in Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." David said, "It just meant so much to me. I had a smile on my face when others wanted to go there. And I'm so appreciative of the time we can spend with one another and what we gain from our assemblies together." In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Now, Abe, what's one of the ways you might possibly do that? How can I be considerate of you, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching? You have come today. You have considered me, and you have provoked me unto love and good works by being here. You were appreciative enough. You didn't just pick me out, but you were appreciative enough to come here, and not even realizing it in the back of your mind, you provoked Abe Martin unto love and good works. You were very considerate because you came here to assemble. That's what he talks about. What other occasion do we get? Well, we might have some social occasions, but where could we go and be with one another that we wouldn't be more provoked than we are today when we partake of the Lord's Supper, when we sing the songs together, when we have prayer together, when we give of our means together, when we study God's Word together? Where can you get that in one place on this earth other than here in our assemblies? What a beautiful blessing from God. I am so thankful that He gave us all these things. So it's, thank you, Lord. What we tend to do is the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. You can, all of us that have had animals, I don't care if it's a horse, a cow, whatever, you ever notice what they do? Beautiful grass where they are. But they'll look through and they'll almost get caught in a fence. And I've seen some of them get caught trying to get on the other side and nibble because that grass just looks so much better. Same grass, but for some reason they'll do it. And that's what we do. We have the muffins, and what we do, not good enough. I've got to reach over and get one with a muffin, with butter. And I think about that, and it's so true in life. And I hope that when saying this today, that from now on, you can think of it any way you want to, but this will help each one of us to be more thankful. It is so difficult for us to be really appreciative and be thankful for what we have. I don't know why. I don't know why we're not satisfied. I've never understood this even in me. I don't get it. But it's true. No one in this life will be perfect in their physical relationship. It's just not going to happen. Jesus Christ was the only one. Not going to happen for the rest of us. But we better get better at it and continue to improve in it. And we better appreciate truly what we have. I used this at the beginning. It is difficult not to want it. I love butter on everything. Somebody, and Kyle said, well, it's got to be butter or icing. It's got to be something. Just plain doesn't cut it. And that's what we tend to think. And I know with Linda sometimes, and I thought about this when I was doing this. I'll get something else out and have to add it to the food. And she says, wasn't it good? And I'm like, well, yeah, it was really good, but I just wanted this on it too. I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is with us. We're never happy with exactly the way it is. All of us. All of us. If the Lord provides, we grumble. People work help us out, we grumble. It's just a matter of we need to quit. We need to work on it every day of our life. And when we start, close the lips, think about what we have, back up. I'm not saying that we don't rightfully talk about things that are immoral and that sort of thing, but we just tend to grumble. It's just like they did in the wilderness. Question is, today, if you knew that all you had to do in life was make one little change to prove that you really appreciate God, that you appreciate the love that He's demonstrated through His Son, that you understood what Jesus Christ truly did for you, wouldn't it make it very easy for you to say, I believe in Him. I want to change my life. I want to confess Him as my Savior, as the Son of God. And I will be immersed in water for the remission of my sins. And from that moment forward, you have a relationship with God where any time you can ask for His forgiveness. And as Christians, if anyone here has a need that they wish for the church to pray for them for, we would be glad to help you in any way we can. Would you please stand?